Hello, and thanks for listening to JoJo's Bizarre Podcast.
Is this working?
My name is Mark. I am also joined by Jackie.
Hey.
And in person, we are here with Miles.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Isn't this just like old times? Except there's a sleeping human in the next room that we can't yell about.
Yeah, it's different from old times.
Although I guess in old times there was a baby, like...
Across the hall
from us that we would hear sometimes yelling.
That's true. Those kids stayed up late.
Yeah, I guess so. I think that apartment was just chaos.
Okay.
That's my guess.
Hmm.
This is a podcast not about parenting, but about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, specifically the TV anime incarnation. But we're all caught up on JoJo's, actually. If you go all the way back to April of 2023, that was the last time we talked about it. I mean, we probably did some kind of recap or something, maybe. But we finished our coverage of Stone Ocean, and we are now in stasis, waiting to hear if Part 7 becomes an anime. We are aware there's a ton of manga that we can read, but we just haven't really dipped our toes, officially, on the pod. So these days, we're watching other anime that our listeners recommend, or our Patreon supporters pay for, or we decide, hey, let's watch that thing. And this week, we're going to talk about the 1990 OVA Cyber City Oedo 808. That's Cyber City Oedo, and then three numbers, 808. But when you say it, it's fun.
08, 08, 08. It is
fun.
Yeah.
It's just lots of back and forth. But before we get into the Cyber City Oedo, we need to first take a look down Correspondence Alley. Or Correspondence Corner, that's where people write messages to us in the form of email or messages on Discord. That's right, there's a Discord for this podcast. It is started by our listener Aaron, and there's a channel in there called Correspondence Corner that if you want to talk about the anime we've announced way too late that we're going to cover, or you want to recommend some other anime or bring up something we said on a past episode, you can do it there.
Or you can email us.
But this week, we just have emails, so that's another viable option, as you're going to hear. We do see them. We do read them. You can write to us at jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com. This week's email is from Chad. The subject line is, living in that 808 state. Aloha, JJB Pod Ohana. Let's take a look at the JoJo voice connections for an exemplar of the late 80s, early 90s OVA cyberpunk aesthetic Cyber City 08808. Gabimaru Rikia, hacker alias Goggles, is voiced by Tesshō Genda, who voiced the fake Captain Tennille from Part 3 of the JoJo TV series anime. The guy on the boat who had the stand Dark Blue Moon. Leader of the cyber police, Juzo Hasegawa, is voiced by Norio Wakamoto, who also voiced the 2000 OVA version of Part 3 enemy stand user, Whole Horse. Japanese Imperial Army officer, Kazuo Shiroyama, is voiced by Banjo Ginga, who also voiced the TV version of Part 3 enemy stand user, Daniel J. Darby, the poker one, not the video game one. Tormented building engineer Dave Kurokawa is voiced by Takeshi Aono, who also voiced the 1993 OVA version of Part 3 enemy stand user Vanilla Ice. If you check out the third episode, criminal Shuzo Sayonji is voiced by Unsho Ishizuka, who also voiced the TV version of Old Joseph in Parts 3 and 4. I hope everyone is doing well and enjoying the official start of spring in the Northern Hemisphere.
Yay!
Mahalo, Chad. Then Chad did a bunch of research about how the British dub and importantly soundtrack is like pretty big and influential in the UK, and this like dubstep or techno producer Nero, or I think they're a trio, Nero, used it in their song Doomsday that was for the Borderlands 2 reveal. And the line that they keep using in that song is December 1st, 2808, Doomsday. And I also read that Nero has a song called Innocence, and the official music video is just from this anime. It's just Cyber City 08-08-08. Yeah, I couldn't get away from the British soundtrack thing when I was like trying to see what was on Wikipedia. They're like, oh, the UK soundtrack version is by this guy, Rory McFarlane. I think that's his name. And I was like, well, who the fuck is Rory McFarlane? And I Google it, and he has a little Wikipedia page.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, he's famous for doing the Cyber City 08-08-08 English dub soundtrack.
Circles.
And I was like, okay. But it does seem popular there. Like when I looked up the soundtrack because I wanted to compare, you can't find the fucking Japanese one. Yeah, had you guys... Well, I guess we should talk Patreon and then go back to this. Do you guys have any thoughts on this email? It's very anime related.
Turn A Gundam.
Do you guys know the band Nero? You guys remember that song Promises?
No.
Yeah, because Chad says, like, what'd you say? That might sound like an obscure band nobody has heard of, but no, Chad. Nero, if you look up Promises by Nero, it's got like 43 million fucking views. Mm. They were huge. I'm trying to remember what else there was. They didn't do Clarity, right? That's Zed, maybe. God, listening to dubstep now, it feels so... Like, some stuff is still good, but it's very of a time. Like, if you use any whap, 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 whap now, like, you'll get banned from music. You know?
Okay.
Some of it is still good.
R.I.P. Whamp, 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 whamp.
Whamp, whamp, straight, bray, 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 straight, bray, bray, bray. You know?
Yeah.
They could bring that back a little bit. Thanks for writing, Chad. Again, that was an email sent to jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com. The only voice connection I picked up on was Norio Wakamoto because...
Your boy.
He's my boy. That's obviously him. Folks, if you want to support this little show and our comments on music genres of yore, you can go to patreon.com/jjbpod and support us for as little as $1 a month. That gets you access to the Patreon feed, which includes Miles's occasional song recommendations. Yeah. I don't know how often you do this.
Sometimes.
And cut audio from the main podcast feed. That's when we go too off topic or say something strange that I might put it up there on the Patreon feed. It's mostly about supporting us, an independent, New Jersey-based, organic, GMO, we're pro-GMO, I should say. Right?
I guess we're not anti.
Yeah, we are organic, but we're full of GMOs.
Yes.
Podcast. For $3 a month, you get access to that same sparse feed, and we will thank you out loud on the podcast in a second, because I also want to tell you that the Patreon is where you can make us watch an anime of your choosing. 3 episodes of an anime of your choosing, and then you decide if we should give our impressions only on those 3 episodes or decide the fate of the anime overall. It's up to you.
Whoa.
Yeah. We can say if an anime sucks or not, even if it's 500 episodes and we only see 3. So that's patreon.com/jjbpod. Let us say thank you to some fine folks.
I almost accidentally emailed someone on the list.
Uh-oh.
That would have been weird.
So thank you so much, Gen X Anime Dad.
Josh.
Colin.
Clit Rocket.
Shun.
Hentai Homie.
I love JoJo Uwu.
Daniel.
Dalton.
Soliloquy.
Kasoon.
Lord Zendar.
Jumbo.
Katie.
Bloof.
Aura.
Kenny.
Mirror Man.
The stand user formerly known as Austin.
Tim.
Martin.
Aquosus.
Christian.
And Chad.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks.
By the way, do you guys understand what the other references Chad is making? That I'm actually going to double check before I make an ass out of myself, but I'm pretty sure I know what that means.
No. What are you talking about?
808 State is referring to Hawaii, I believe.
Oh, is it?
I believe it's the area code of the state.
Oh, that's nice.
And 808 State was a British electronic group.
Mm.
Let's see, am I right? Yeah, 808 is for Honolulu and, oh, all of Hawaii.
Okay.
And that's because they love this anime.
They love whatever that machine is, the 808 synthesizer.
Oh, yeah. The, what is it, a Roland? A TR-808 or something? Come on.
Sounds like a calculator.
It's awesome. It's music. The 808 is like a lot of genres, but definitely like smooth R&B to make love to. Mm. Very 808. Speaking of making love, we watched Cyber City Oedo 808. It's from 1990. It's three episodes. They're each 45 minutes long, so we only watched two of them. We'll probably get to the third one. It'll be the easiest anime for us to continue and finish. Madhouse made it. They made all the Satoshi Kon stuff. They made Death Note. They made Hunter x Hunter. A lot of other humongous fucking animes. It should be called like Mad Country. What? A house has how many people?
Mm.
They're making all these hits?
Like three
Mad
or four people.
Mad World.
It's a very, very... this OVA series was directed by Yoshiaki Kawajiri, who did Vampire Hunter D: Bloodlust, Ninja Scroll, Demon City Shinjuku.
Did we watch that?
No, it's on my list. And something else that's kind of on my list is Wicked City, but people said that one is very gory. And I went to Wikipedia and I did Control F and I looked for a certain four-letter word because I was like, is that going to be in this? And it is. It's a four-letter word that starts with R and was in a lot of like 90s and 80s OVAs and movies. Yeah. I was like, I don't want to fucking see that. But anyway.
There's a lot of that in the Berserk manga.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. After a while, you're like, all right, buddy.
that's quite enough. Do you guys know that they credit sometimes mechanical designers on anime and stuff?
That rules.
Yeah, the people that design the robots and the cars and stuff gets like a specific credit.
Oh, interesting.
And in this case, someone named Takashi Watabe, who worked on Akira and Memories, probably the stink bomb.
And so he
segment.
Built the vehicles and stuff.
He draws all that shit and
That's
comes
so
up
cool.
with the designs. It is really cool.
I feel like I used to do that a lot as a kid and then I stopped.
Drawing vehicles?
Yeah.
Drawing machines?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I did not do that. I draw a lot of people faces.
I saw, I don't remember what magazine posted it, but it was a bunch of like what doodles that a bunch of different US presidents would make.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
like
really?
In the middle of meetings or something.
That's cute.
Ronald Reagan has a cowboy. That Aww. Is A, very on brand, and B, it is cool and I like it. But Nixon and someone else would just draw like a bunch of like line art, just like big diamond, just like geometrical stuff. And I was like, fuck yeah, that's me.
Just yeah, drawing
I
like
did that too.
Me and Tricky Dick.
Little horizon or whatever, or you're talking about just
it's like you just draw a square and then you're like, let me draw a bunch of little diamonds inside of each other.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Obama's got a guy with a big funny nose. It's fun. Yeah, so there was like on the internet there was all this stuff all over the place about the Rory MacFarlane British soundtrack. I wanted to play for you guys because I did find that this OVA series in its entirety is on YouTube in a few different ways, but the dub is very big and there's a particular line that is pretty famous. That YouTube is calling that the video on YouTube, which has almost 1 million views from 14 years ago, is called the second worst line in an anime ever. And this is actually from episode 3, which we haven't watched. All you need to know is that the first guy speaking is Sengoku, and the second guy speaking is Benten, the sort of femme androgynous looking character.
Hey, Benten, don't crap your pants if you see a vampire out there.
Get lost. You wouldn't recognize a goddamn vampire if one jumped up and bit you on the end of your fucking dick. So just get off my back.
So that's
hey,
like,
Benton.
Yeah, I don't know why he sounds like that. And apparently, the whoever did the translations for this, like back in those days, they didn't give a fuck about what anybody really meant it to be. They would just change it. What he says in the original is. Sengoku says, wow, spooky case. They got us looking for vampires now. And Benton says, actually, the vampires of legend were tragic creatures. eternally young, but forever craving human blood. Not, you wouldn't know a fucking vampire if it bit up and bit your dick. I think both are beautiful lines.
Yeah.
I want to say, but yeah.
Well crafted.
I just was like clicking around the dub, and there's some really shitty line delivery, but some that are really fucking funny. Also, the last thing I'll say internet-wise is the ending song. There's a comment from someone that says, one of the greatest songs ever made in human history.
Oh, my God.
And then an ASCII heart.
I didn't listen to it.
It's good. I think the ED might edge out the OP in this
one. Really?
In my opinion, yeah.
Oh, because I really loved the OP.
The OP is pretty good. Burning World. Da-da-da. Yeah, they're both good.
Should I give EDs more of a chance?
Yeah, because sometimes they start slow and you're like, what a snoozy, boring end. And then they pick up.
Okay.
All right. There were some ED. Good, like, I don't know if it was the ED, some fretless bass sounds. I love that shit. So had you guys heard of this fucking show before?
No.
No.
Okay. What did you guys expect?
I guess.
Don't know.
I guess something kind of like this.
I did say it was like an OVA, and I think it's the same director as Vampire Hunter D.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know that it...
I didn't know anything, so I just came in like, I'm going to watch an anime OVA from the 80s.
But this, it didn't fall too far afield from what I thought would happen.
It is very cyber.
Mm-hmm. It is very cyber. There is a city.
Good violence.
Yeah.
Pretty good violence.
I don't typically like action, but I thought that they did a good job of making it really interesting. It felt like everything was like well choreographed. All of the action shots felt really like, I don't know. It was just like well done.
It makes me think like, are there a million gems like this in animes that we've missed?
I think it's one of those things where you'll get a list of like 20 titles, but then like five or six in, you're going to go like, oh, there's a fall off happening here. You know, like I have a friend who loves movies and like every Marvel movie, like almost everyone, he's like, amazing, amazing, amazing. And you're like, okay, I know that I can't take every recommendation from you now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you're like, some of those were clunkers. But there's a few more by this guy that I'd definitely like to see. I'd like to see more from Oshii, who did Ghost in the Shell.
Mm.
He's apparently got a few. One that's blowing up on Letterboxd right now is called Angel's Egg, but it's kind of lost media. You can only pirate it.
Mm.
If we ever watch it, I'm not going to say that's how we got it, though.
Okay. Ghost in the Shell is playing it in theaters, I think, soon.
Yeah?
Yeah. The anime one, not the Scarlett Johansson one.
I would watch the Scarlett Johansson one. I would not hire a babysitter to go watch it in theaters.
We would take the baby.
I would take the baby and say, this is cinema.
This gaze is what an Asian person looks like.
Yeah, that does sound cool. In some ways, I was like, could I have made plans to go see End of Evangelion in theaters? But I just didn't. You know how it is.
Yeah, I know.
So the premise here is that it's super far in the future. Specifically, it's in the 29th century, the year 2808. They really like those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
It's in sort of a dystopian, like, huge sprawling city full of crime. It's a little like Blade Runner, a little like RoboCop, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, I definitely wrote down RoboCop. There was another one it reminded me of. Let me see if I can find it, and I can tell you what it reminds me of.
Did you guys feel like the whole using criminals to do stuff, did that feel familiar at all?
It felt like
it did.
Suicide Squad, right?
Suicide Squad. Okay. I don't. I was just trying to look up. Suicide Squad goes as far back as 1959.
Oh wow!
And I don't know if they had exploding collars in that one, because the earliest exploding collar for me personally is Battle Royale.
Mm.
I don't know, and that's like 1999 or 2000.
I can't remember my first experience with an exploding collar.
Oh, most people never forget. I know it's been used in real life. There was that one guy they like hired to rob places and they put an exploding collar on him. There's a Netflix documentary called like Evil Genius or something.
This is a horrible concept.
Yeah, it seems like it's pretty good at doing what you want it to do.
Yeah, I was trying to think of ways out, but it seems like there aren't many if you can you just get blown up whenever.
Oh, well, let me ask you guys this.
Mm-hmm.
Ignoring the specific mechanics of the exploding collar, what mm-hmm. do you guys think about taking like active prison inmates and using them for the police's sake?
Well,
is that a thing?
I don't really get why they'd be better at their jobs than the police. Mm-hmm. Not that I think the police are like amazing at their jobs, but
so I think the idea is that a criminal still has contacts, and they could be basically almost like a CI, but one who's like desperate to help.
Mm-hmm.
But this is actually based on a real world Japanese concept called homen. Homen were prisoners that I don't know if it was feudal Japan. Apparently, according to the Japanese Wikipedia article on the concept, it goes back to the 11th century even, that they would take prisoners and they would have them go catch criminals. But of course, a bunch of them just also committed crimes.
They didn't have the exploding collars?
They did not have the exploding collars. They weren't really...
That.
Yeah, they weren't ready. Yeah, so this is a real thing that Japan did at some point.
I don't know. I guess I didn't write it down, but there was like something else. Definitely RoboCop, but there was something... Is Die Hard the movie where they're in a building?
Yeah.
Okay. Die Hard was one.
I can see that.
I was thinking because of the space scraper. And them kind of like that. I think it's like the first episode where they have like hostages that are like in a room and they have to kind of traverse the skyscraper in episode one.
Yeah, that is episode one. Right. Yeah.
So yeah, Die Hard.
And Dirty Pair.
Yeah, I got some Dirty Pair vibes, definitely. I liked the Dirty Pair.
Me too.
Apparently space scrapers, I don't know if that exact term was used, but Arthur C. Clarke would write about those. That was according to some blog that I found and lost called like Watching the Films of Asia or something. Let me find that blog. Watching Asia Film Reviews. They point out that Arthur C. Clarke talked about space scrapers. And while it does seem like a stupid concept to me to have a very tall building, have you guys heard at all about NEOM?
No.
No.
That Saudi Arabia is going to build like skyscraper land, like straight across the desert long cities.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll have like a train inside so you can get across them really quick.
Oh.
I don't know.
That's my dream.
We don't know if it's really going to happen.
Oh, okay.
Wait, why is that your dream?
Well, is it all going to be like you never have to go outside?
Even if you, there's nothing there. It's just like in an uninhabitable, hot desert.
You're just in the building constantly.
Yes.
That's my dream, yeah, to never go outside.
Oh, why? I thought you were going to go on like a rant about how you think public transit is important.
It is, but I also never want to go outside. I want to live in a sterile, climate-controlled dome.
Oh. Is this like a post-COVID thing? Or because you used to be like a runner and you'd go run in the park.
I can run in the dome.
It's not a dome. It's a set of two lines.
Okay. I can run along the line.
I don't know.
I would also live on those like colonies from Gundam.
Oh, the sides.
Yeah. There's probably no mosquitoes up there, right?
I guess if they like bounce real sunlight into them, then I'm like more cool with it.
Yeah. I could give or take the sunlight.
Wow. I'm thinking more of like the domed cities from SimCity 2000 and stuff. Anyway, what happened in this show? They give us the concept. And from the box art, by the way, they show the three criminals in silhouette being told like, all right, here's the deal. We'll take some time off your sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear three different male voices talking about like, fuck it, I'll do it, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, where's the girl's voice? Why don't I hear a lady?
Yeah.
And it's because the third androgyne looking person,
mm-hmm. Benton
might be a man.
Mm.
I looked at the opening credits, has like little profiles of all of them and their stats and their racial breakdown.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And they did say Benton is a man.
Okay,
but I don't know how, like, you know,
he just likes to, you know,
he likes David Bowie a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just kept, because I didn't catch his name, so I just kept calling him Beautiful Man. The Beautiful Man.
Also, his name is Merrill.
With the nails and the whole thing.
Yeah, he has long red nails and long silver hair, and he's lithe.
He's lithe.
He was stretching when they first told him.
Yeah, you're right.
Which, I don't know.
Yeah, and at first I was like, they got to make the lady doing something sexual. But it wasn't. Yeah, I did notice the stats screen. I don't know what you call this theory. What's the theory of, like, the stupid theory of race where it's just three mountains? Where it's, like, the Mongol Mountains, the Negris Mountains, and the Caucasus Mountains?
Uh-huh.
So they had up there, like, I wrote down that...
They had Caucasian, Asian, and African.
Okay, you're talking about the part on the left where they translate
the subtitles.
They translate the kanji, but on the right, written in English, they had Negride, Mongolide, and Euripidide.
Oh, how did I miss that?
Which is weird because I don't think anyone says that. Instead of like, it used to be like Caucasoid, Mongoloid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to keep going, but I don't know. It's cool. A lot of people are multiracial. Goggles is 60% Asian, or as they call it, Mongoloid, and he's part black and part European.
And part other as well. I think it was like 10% other.
What in the world could that be?
Like,
there's only three things.
Uncategorized, unsure.
Yeah, it was funny that they have those stats because you don't really fucking need them to identify
right.
like a criminal or whatever. My first note is that Wakamoto? And it was.
Wakamoto was the...
The boss of them.
Okay. Really, really vampire-y looking guy.
Yeah. He probably drinks human blood. Why not? Jackie, did you have a blow-by-blow of this, or should I find a summary? Because I'm dumb.
I don't know if it's a blow-by-blow. So it starts with a robot is opening some prison cells and like releasing saying like the numbers of the people and like you have been you're coming out of this prison cell, and that's when they're being asked to become police to reduce their sentence, and they're like, all right, sure. They all three agree. There's cool intro music, and then the main guy,
Sengoku,
I guess, he's in a car and he asks a robot to draw a bridge so that, I guess you should get a blow-by-blow because I didn't really blow-by-blow the situation.
It's fine. I don't know how blow-by-blow we have to go. The robot's name was Varsus.
I hated this robot's voice so much.
It does seem grating, but I thought some of the writing on the robot was very good.
The writing was good, but I wanted to punch the robot in the stomach.
Because of the voice?
Yeah.
Because he just talks way up here the entire time.
Yeah, I wanted to like shove him in a locker.
Mm.
So yeah, I guess folks, we'll tell you the general plot. You should just watch this. It's on fucking YouTube for Christ's sake. The first is they're doing a hostage rescue of 50,000 people because they're in this space scraper.
That's the first mission in the first episode.
The first mission.
Yeah.
And they get there.
Oh, everybody gets kill you on their screens.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was another like
kill you.
Because there's some good future prediction in this show, and I think that this is what it's like to log on to social media.
It's like
in
kill
like
you.
2014 and later is just fuck you, die, you're a piece of shit, just all over your face, no matter who you are, especially if you run a building.
Oh yeah, his current sentence is like 300 years. He's trying to work off a 300 year sentence.
Yeah, because when they were describing the deal of like, you might get a few years off here and there, I was like, damn, that's pretty good. And then when they're like, yeah, you have over 300 years in your sentence, it was like, oh, well, that's not good at all.
So then this is like maybe their only shot, I guess, of getting out ever, but.
And he got 10 years added back at some point for some sort of.
Yeah.
Like as some sort of punishment.
But at that point, it's like, who cares? I have 300 years to go out. What's another 10?
I guess the upside is you don't have to live in a cell. That's nice.
Yeah, you can go out there and
right. That's a good point. You're like you are kind of free. You just have to be a cop for free.
Yeah, and you have to wear this collar that will blow you up whenever that guy wants to blow you up.
Whenever he decides, we'll blow you up. And like he it's like pretty much every mission does he set a timer that's like, this will blow up if you don't do it.
That's sort of the approach I take with my son. I set a timer. I'm like, you got to go potty before the time's up or...
you blow up. At first, I was like, I didn't understand the point of that. But thinking about it a little bit, like, you know, if you were just like, go catch criminals and you have unlimited time to do it, they might like not actually do it and be like, oh, it's just really hard. Right? Mm-hmm. I just can't find them. And they're like, you know, whatever, like doing other crimes or like at the bar, at the strip club, whatever, you know, like.
Which I think is probably what a lot of cops do, but they would frown on putting bomb collars around cops' necks, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But it does make me wonder, like, what do these guys do? You know, they have 300 life sentence, 300 years on their sentences.
Probably bad stuff. Considering how good they are at murdering.
Mm.
Probably bad stuff.
And yeah, these are the fact that they're criminals who get to go out and are on like life sentences and they could die at any moment. It makes them do very risky stuff. All I remember from this episode is like, there's like a hallway full of lasers that are like behind thick steel. Unless you move, then they all pop out. And Ben 10 starts, by the way, Ben 10 just makes me think of, was that a Pixar? Or no, that was an animated show, right?
It was like a Disney Channel
Ben
show.
Ben 10. Something?
Who's Ben 10? Which one is he?
He has like 10 different the monsters he can transform into. Oh, yeah, yeah. The David Bowie labyrinth looking guy.
Oh, okay. Benton. Oh, Ben 10. Okay.
Yeah, Ben 10, Ben 10. Yeah, so he tries sneaking along this corridor with lasers because I think that they know that there's an important person held hostage in the main control room.
Yeah, that's Dave.
That's Dave Kurokawa. Also probably multiracial.
Hmm.
Or his parents were like, this is such a cool name in like, 2808.
We need to pick a cool name.
This is a classic Dave. Name. Dave. And also this, like Legend of Galactic Heroes and everything from before like 2000 tells you that like if the main computer dies, everything in this city explodes. Like everything goes wrong.
Yeah. Nobody had faith. Like everyone imagined that in the future, everything would be run from one main computer, but also that it would fuck up easily. Because this is the second or third plot we've had where the main computer is like at risk.
Which you would never do. The tech people would never build it this way.
Jackie, no one knew any tech people back in these days. You couldn't just know someone who happened to be in tech.
Maybe the tech people would never build it this way because of these anime.
Oh, that's what it
that
is.
We've watched.
So we've learned from the anime.
It's a valuable lesson.
They've thought through these kinds of problems for us so we don't have to.
Yeah. So, and I think also people would try and attack the main computer more if they knew that it was the cornerstone that holds the entire city together. So Benton's trying to crawl in through lasers. He gets pinned down. And meanwhile, Sengoku, who seems to really just make the best use of the robot versus.
He talks to the robot a lot. Like, he has disdain for the robot, but I think he likes him secretly.
Well, he's like, because Benton has natural, quickness and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But Sengoku is like good with a gun, but needs help from the computer. Yep. He like sneaks in through a vent, also very diehardy, and he gets into the main computer control room with Dave. Dave points a gun at him, I believe, which made me think that Dave was taking the building hostage, and I thought he was stupid. But then apparently, like Dave kind of gives him the lowdown on what's going on, and he suspects that it was someone named, was it Amachi?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Someone named, Amachi, why Amachi?
Amachi was the Australian-born Japanese person.
They had to give us that detail.
Yeah. They were like, it's diverse.
Yeah. He programmed all the toilets flushed the opposite direction.
Oh, no.
So he went missing a long time ago.
15 years ago.
Yeah.
So even though he went missing, he's like, no, he didn't. He's still in the city. There's no way he just left. And he's the one doing this to this building.
I wrote down the hostages. This is a little bit later, but the hostages get Tower of Terror. I think I got that one right. The Tower of Terror is when they.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's the elevator ride in Disney that just feels like it drops out from under you.
Yeah.
And it's themed around the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, I'm never going on that.
I've never been on it.
Oh, it's not that bad at all.
I'd like to go on
I'm
it.
I'm scared.
Does it actually drop like that, or is it just simulated?
Oh, you drop, but it's like, it's fine. It's fine.
Okay.
It's not that bad.
It's not that bad, Miles.
I feel like a roll.
All right, I'll do it.
I guess it depends on your threshold, but if you've been on like roller coasters and stuff, if you've been on like, to me, it's like as bad as like, you know, that pirate ship. You know that pirate ship?
The swinging
ship,
pirate swinging, ship?
It's mm-hmm. like that to me. It's a swing.
I don't like the swinging pirate ship.
Why not? Yeah,
I would never.
Because it just keeps swinging and you just have to wait it out. Like with the drop, it's like you hit the one drop and then it's over.
You know who else just keeps swinging?
You drop and then it.
Boys.
It shakes you. You go up and down, I think.
Yeah, but if what if the first swing you're like, I hate this? Then you just got to fucking sit there.
Mm. It doesn't change it up
as you go.
Well, you still have to sit there for the tower too, because it drops you, but then it picks and then it goes up and then down. It's the same thing.
What?
It goes up and down.
What the fuck is this?
It shakes you around.
I don't like that.
Now I don't want to go on it anymore. Mark doesn't like it.
But if it's a quick drop, I bet I could still deal with
it. All right,
that is scary. he's back. He's back in.
Should we do a Disney episode where we all go to Disney? And
yeah, I think we should do that.
Like, interview Mickey or
I
something.
Do want to do some kind of expedition when the JoJo exhibit comes to...
Jersey.
comes to Jersey, absolutely. Yeah.
Post it on YouTube.
Anyway, yeah, the elevator is important because it features some extra hostages that include a lady friend.
Oh, yeah. They keep talking to this cute lady.
Her name is like Honochi or something?
Yeah.
Lonochi?
She seems okay.
Junochi. I don't know. She seems okay. She's way too interested in Sengoku.
And he's not that interested in her.
He was not that interested at the end of the episode.
And she asked him to dinner, too.
Yeah, in the English dub, which I just happened to like click through, because like they do just change the dialogue,
mm-hmm.
is she's like, you want to buy me dinner? And he's like, no, I'm a cop. I'm a con. You're a cop. Blah, blah, blah. He lists like 10 reasons. She goes, sounds like a yes. I'll see you at 8. And he goes, okay, fine. It's a date. And I was like, that's not what he does.
That's not what he does at all.
That's not what he does in the Japanese.
Oh, man.
He just, he blows her off and is like, okay, you're very nice, but no, or something. I don't remember. He's a gentleman. He's a gentleman who is closeted gay. I've decided.
You know what I liked about him in the robot?
Mm.
He had a fingerprint, like he had to use, he had, you, the you had.
Fingerprint
his gun
ID.
Only worked.
Yeah.
If it detected his fingerprints. And I think that's a wise idea. I think it's a little bit real, right? Do we have those?
Yes, we do. And I'm not sure if this predicted it or if it was working all the way back then.
Cops, if they're gonna have guns, they should definitely have that.
Yeah, gun rights activists don't like them because you can't fire them that fast because it has to like takes a second to
run. What a shame!
But I bet with technologies these days, it could very easily do that, but it would fuck up the price per unit. Is my guess. Mm. You know what I mean? For us to mandate a company to do that, they wouldn't want mm-hmm. to.
You couldn't murder as many people.
Yeah, he calls when he requests the gun from the robot, I remember he called it a Nambu Luger. If you didn't know, the Nambu was the pistol that the Japanese used in the first World Wars,
mm-hmm.
the first like half of the 20th century. I don't know if the Nambus were that bad, but I know that like by late World War II, Japanese guns were apparently so fucking unreliable that if you like squeeze them in the wrong spot, they'd go off and shit. It was crazy. But Luger was a common German pistol. It's a very Japanese / Nazi type of gun name we got going on here.
Well, I thought you said it was the First World War.
Yeah, but they were buddies in World War II. Like Luger was German in World War II and maybe earlier. But Japanese and Germans, sometimes there's too much crossover in anime. You know, some people just wish for those days 80 years ago. I'm suspicious. That's me. I mean, I suspect people. That's what I mean when I say suspicious. I personally don't find myself.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean? You're not suspicious is what you're saying.
You're
suspicious of...
I suspect I'm not a suspect.
Right.
Anyway. So I don't remember how the plot proceeds, but we know that he needs to go find...
Amachi.
He needs to find Amachi.
Yeah, he needs to find Amachi. Dave... tells the main guy
Sengoku
that he killed Amachi so that he would get a spot in the super elite.
Oh, he tells him. Okay.
Yeah, he tells him that.
Because they both co-founded the...
Right. And
the mega computer.
And Amachi was better than him. So he was like, well, he's going to get it. He's going to get the spot, so I need to kill him. So he kills him.
Right. And the reason why he tells him is because Sengoku just points a gun at him and says, I will kill you if you don't tell me.
And so it's like, oh, okay.
By the way, like looking at his armor, it says like CP, short for Cyber Police, on it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, maybe this would be a cool cosplay. And then I remembered that a lot of like young internet people think of CP as standing for child schmorschmography.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, yeah. I don't want to walk around with CP.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
People aren't going to think it's cheese pizza. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so he goes down to like where the computers are, I think.
Yeah, because it shows the way he kills him. He threw him down a shaft.
Yeah. Also, his boss calls. Well, when he talks to his boss on the phone, he tells him that he should kill Dave because, like,
right.
Because he killed the guy. I don't know. Because he killed the monster.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, this case was a big deal back then. I think he said, like, I was on that case.
He was working on the case. So he's like, just kill this guy. But he's like, can't the courts handle this? he's like, no, I'm going to settle this with Amachi. So he disobeys his boss. And he doesn't just, like, get blown up.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Nice.
These guys are good. They can't really just be blown up. Yeah. Like, you know.
I guess. But then they can just, like, pull out some other prisoners. You know, like, they have an endless supply of prisoners that they can make into cops.
I don't know if this is their very first mission since being released, but I just feel like they've demonstrated a lot of ability.
Did you say whether this show used to be a manga or anything? Was this based on anything?
I think it's just original. I haven't said.
Okay.
But I think it's just original. The writer's name is just black text on Wikipedia, but I could see if he wrote anything else that we would know of. Akinori Endo, who, when I look up, wrote, no way. Oh, City Hunter, some Mobile Suit Gundam stuff, some scripts for, the Battle Angel OVA. Have you guys seen Battle Angel?
No.
I don't know.
It's good, but it's one of those ones where it just like ends and you're kind of like, oh, fuck, this is barely a story. But it's pretty good. It's definitely like of the same genre. Maybe we'll get to it. Anyway, so he goes down to where like all the servers are. And oh yeah, but at some point, I think right after Sengoku goes to sneak into the main control room, a big like turret thing is flying at him. And this felt very realistic with how voice control works, because he says like, hey, versus this type of thing is flying at me. Where do I shoot it to stop?
Mm-hmm.
And Versus is like, is it this or this model? And he just guesses. And then Versus says, yeah, aim in the upper right. And then as he's shooting it, Versus proceeds to give him like the Wikipedia header of being like, that is a very popular model made in Germany in 19, whatever. And then like, as the scene fades out, Versus is still going on talking about the different details. And that is like when you ask Google for something and then you're like, shut the fuck up. I don't want to hear the rest of this. So I think they got that right.
Yeah, they did.
So he's searching around in the computer zone and he's like, wait a minute, there's supposed to be 12 server stacks here. I only count 11. And he finds a false wall. It's a big hologram projection. And he steps through. And by the way, they have these special batons as like criminal hunters, that they turn into like basically long piano wire they can use to cut stuff.
Especially Benton.
Yeah, Benton's the only one who's really good with it, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't really know if the other ones get to use it much. But Sengoku discovers this crazy looking thing that almost looks like a Bloodborne boss.
I thought it's Amachi, but like skeleton Amachi, but like connected to all these wires. And I thought he looked really cool.
Yeah. I think he is very cool. Someone said he looked like the mascot for Megadeth.
Mm.
Anyone's a Megadeth fan? Kind of. It's just like, it's a lot of wires. It's a corpse that's mostly skeleton. And then just like above him is like a big ball of computer parts or something.
And he's still wearing his name tag, so you know it's Amachi.
Yeah, you know it's him.
Good thing he was wearing his name tag.
Let me ask you guys, what do you think happened here? Because they don't explain it.
Oh, they do explain it, don't they? He says it at the end. He tells his boss or somebody that, or he tells somebody, Amachi died 15 years ago and programmed a computer with his consciousness to get revenge.
Well, that's the thing that I'm wondering is, like, did he already have this set up as a kill switch? Because, like, if he programmed it with his consciousness, how did his consciousness
I think he fell down the shaft and was really badly hurt and was like, but I can still type or whatever.
Yeah.
Let me plug these wires into me and program it so
that's
I'm,
what I, think
I live forever.
I was wondering if it was that.
Instead of like calling an ambulance, he was like, no. Let me get revenge. Yeah. He's like, I'm going to die.
Maybe.
Let me do some fucking programming.
I could access the internet, but whatever.
I thought maybe the computer wires reached out to him, you know?
No.
They were like, Father, what has happened to you? Let us help.
You put them in his butt.
This also predicted Elon Musk's Neuralink. Soon dudes are going to take revenge while controlling our cars and our smart buildings. Maybe. It's possible.
Yeah, I think that's a Fast and the Furious plot.
This is a few plots, yeah. Isn't there a, what is it called? The Shocker or Ghost in the Machine? I think there's a few movies where a serial killer gets electric chaired, but his spirit goes into the electricity lines.
Ooh.
And then he kills people. And there's one amazing scene.
Oh, that's Ghost Rider.
What?
It's not Ghost Rider.
There's one amazing scene in this movie. I'm trying to remember which. I think it is Ghost in the Machine, where this guy works in a crash test facility, and the machines keep coming alive, almost like Final Destination, and he keeps almost getting killed by the dummies, the cars and stuff. Then he goes to the bathroom, and he hits the hand dryer, and just a big fireball comes out and sets him on fire, and he dies. It doesn't make any sense. It's not even really electrical. I guess there's some electricity to it, but it shouldn't be able to shoot fire. Sorry, whatever that movie
and
is.
Yet.
It was okay. For like a B movie on TV, it was solid.
When I saw Yamashi, I was like, oh, he's more machine than man, but he's like almost totally machine.
Yeah, it was shocking that Sengoku and the machine Amachi fight, and Sengoku seems very outmatched because they show the computer's POV and it's able to like guess what he's going to do using simulation data. It's like simulating which way he's going to go. So it's very ready for him. And he seems to defeat this by just walking straight at it.
He shoves a bar through the skull or something.
I think it's his baton, but
he stabs the dead guy.
It's just weird because he's like, when he tries to fight, he gets like stabbed and electrocuted like very quickly. But when he walks, they still do hit him a little bit. I guess the idea is the simulation is anticipating him to break and like go left or right, but he doesn't. But that's still a pretty dumb machine.
Mm-hmm.
He walks up, he shoves his baton through the thing's head. I did not expect it to have that much flesh. It's gross. It's like blood and shit shoots out of it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was just going to be a bunch of dry bones. But I guess there's not a lot of like parasites down there. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
He doesn't decay because it's such a clean room.
I think he'd decay a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
This is no blood pumping, but forensic detectives or morticians write in and tell us what happens to the body if it dies in a server room. Man, people must lose tons of shit in buildings like this. Anyway, Sengoku, he beats Amachi doing this. Oh, and at some point, Amachi using himself through the computer, he shuts off the gyro stabilizing thing because this building is so huge that it needs some kind of stabilizer.
Mm-hmm.
And as it's like tilting and throwing shit around, Dave Kurokawa just flies out of the window, I think.
Well, something breaks the window.
Right. Is it like a random drone ship that Amachi has?
Mm-hmm. And he starts to get sucked out, but I think, when the gyro goes, then he falls out of the window.
Yeah. And I think that the boss, because we find out in the post-climax, in the denouement, I don't know. It's been too long, film school. In the debriefing, when they're explaining what happened, we learned that Sengoku had time added onto his sentence, even though he like kind of saved the day. He refused to kill Kurokawa.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
He refused an order. But I think his boss also implies that the reason why like the building went back to normal was actually because Kurokawa died.
Mm.
Like damaging Amachi's corpse didn't really fix things. It was that Kurokawa was dead, and so the corpse was like, fine. Because did it at some point, did the building demand, like, give me Kurokawa?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's possible that, yeah, stabbing the corpse didn't really do anything. It's just objective complete.
It shouldn't do anything. It's a corpse.
But it became Data.
Yeah, but you can't stab Data.
When I die, I want you to upload my fucking brain to the cloud as a virus.
Are you going to leave enough money to pay for the storage, though?
I don't, like, $20 a month for... Nah, I can't be that much data.
You don't think so?
Yeah.
You don't think you've got a lot of data?
Just like a virus with my name on it. I don't know. I don't need a lot.
All right.
Yeah, that was episode one, which is called Memories of the Past.
And the second episode focuses more on Goggles.
Yes. Goggle is the main character of this one, and apparently the third one mostly focuses around Benton.
That makes sense. That's what I thought. That's what I assumed.
Are there only three, or are there more?
It's just three. It's just three, and these were all direct to home video. They were OVAs, which also means that there's like more budget than TV anime. They can do more adult themes, hence the blood. Yeah. And the third one seems to involve vampires.
They call him Goggles because he wears goggles.
Yeah, I think he has no natural vision anymore. Yeah. He's like Geordi LaForge from Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
Or a number of other sci-fi characters.
Personality-wise, he's not like Geordi LaForge.
Not really.
It starts out with Goggles and this guy. This guy's trying to defuse a bomb, and Goggles is talking to him about stuff.
His bomb collar.
His exploding collar.
Okay. And the guy... the guy admits to selling like police files on the black market. I don't know. They have a conversation and the guy blows up because he couldn't defuse it.
Aww.
Well, it's funny because the way Goggles approaches it, he's there with a gun and he's asking him stuff. He's like, how you doing on that progress on getting that collar off? And he's like, well, I guess if I get it off, you're just still going to arrest me. Mm. And Goggles is like, no, if you get that off, you can work on mine next. Mm. Which to me also explains that, like, strangely, he's not being monitored directly.
Yeah.
You know? Or they know that he's fucking around. I don't know. But yeah, the bomb goes off. So I think this is to remind the audience, if they've only seen episode two, that, like, they will blow up if they don't do the thing they're supposed to do.
And then there's another guy. He has a lot of facial hair. He gets blown up.
Oh, the criminal that we see that's just running and gets to a dead end.
Yeah, he's running, he gets to a dead end. And then he kind of blows, you see all his guts and stuff everywhere.
Well, because, you see him looking at some big monster robot that has a bunch of, like, tubes connected to the back of its head. And he calls it a monster, he shoots at it, and then he gets, like, crushed by an invisible force.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when, like, a big hole opens on the robot. But you don't see, like, a laser beam or anything. He just goes squish! And it was cool. We watched it twice.
You liked it that much?
Nah, Jackie missed it the first time. So I got to see it twice.
Did you like it better the first or the second time?
Both times.
Okay.
It was good. So we don't really know what that is for like half of the episode.
I wrote down, suddenly it's Street Fighter and we get a fake Chinese stereotype man.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
And then the beautiful man threatens him with string.
He's like, and the Chinese stereotype man is shipping body parts, and one of his like henchmen drops a box, and just a bunch of arms fall out.
Yeah, it was like mannequin parts.
Yeah, I wasn't sure at first, and then I was like, "Oh God, those are real."
I wrote down, "Why is it Street Fighter?" Because there was like the Chinese stereotype guy, and then there was like a kind of a bigger like brown guy. Like he looked like muscular, and they were unloading stuff from boxes. And I was like, is everybody just like a stereotype now? Like it's like Street Fighter or something.
Street Fighter 1 was out at this point. Mm. But yeah, it's funny because they show like they show like an establishing shot of like a back alley and the music is like kind of Asian-esque. And I was like, what's going on here? I was like, is this supposed to be like a Chinatown? And then it's like the most stereotypical Chinese guy with like a thin wispy mustache and he's wearing... I don't know what they're called. I think for women, like the dresses are called qipao, but I don't know what this traditional... There was a Street Fighter 1 character who kind of looked like this. His name was Lee. By the way, he never shows up again, probably because he's so fucking racist looking. And they're black market shipping or selling just human body parts. But yeah, Ben 10 shows up and puts the fishing line against his neck. And what is he wants answers about?
Something.
Because what's their mission this time?
I think they're investigating the military.
Okay.
Or who is buying these body parts. And it turns out to be the military. It doesn't matter. They find out it's the military behind bad stuff that is happening.
Yeah, and we're treated to, while Benton's doing that...
Some cops ask Goggles...
Right.
Okay. Hey, have you seen a lady... a lady criminal? And he's like, nah, I haven't seen a lady criminal anywhere.
Well, they're like, hey, we look for criminals. We're hunting criminals. And he's like, oh, a criminal, huh? And he holds his, like, cyber police baton out the window. Mm-hmm. And he's like, huh, should I be worried? And they, like, kind of were suspecting that his vehicle could be suspicious. And they seem relieved when they see that he's cyber police. Mm. And, yeah, then he plays dumb. And I was like, don't they know a lot of these guys are criminals? Mm-hmm. Like, shouldn't they always want to search them? But...
Yeah, and it turns out that the girl is... Oh, well, first, before we see that she's there... he's reading a book in Russian, I noticed. I was just like, what is he doing reading a Russian book?
Yeah, I wasn't really sure on that. And I thought, why don't I check IMDb? But just like every trivia point on IMDb is about the fucking British soundtrack shit.
But anyway, the girl's name is Sarah. She's a babe.
Is a babe.
Yeah, for sure.
I really liked her look. It was very cool. She has like dark hair, light eyes, and she has like kind of a sexy, cool outfit.
Yeah,
going on
from the back, it looks like she'd just be wearing like a bikini top, but it's like a half jacket.
Mm-hmm.
It just has like one back strap. Apparently, he is reading, according to this Medium post by Dr. Kev, he is reading something. What is it? And Punishment? It's not War and Peace.
Crime and Punishment.
Crime and Punishment. I suggested Jack. I was like, what is this? Dostoevsky?
And you were right.
Apparently I was right.
Only so many Russian novelists, I guess.
And Sarah's like, hey, thanks for covering for me. You know, we used to work really good together. We should work together again. Like, I know of a job. Like, let's do something. And he's like, you know, I got to do this cop thing. And she's like, haha, just kidding. Oh, right. This episode got really like flashy, like really like.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, I can't keep looking at the screen. So I probably missed some stuff because it was just so much. It was so much.
Before Pikachu gave so many kids seizures in the Porygon attacks episode of Pokemon, which was like 95 or something.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like, I don't know, they were like, look, people are spending money on this. We want to flash lights at them occasionally, really fast. If anybody played classic King of Fighters arcade games, it would just flash red and white at you when you die. It was like
that'll
insane.
That'll wake you up. Like, if you start to fall asleep, a flashing light like that will, like, wake you up and make you pay attention. Maybe that's what they were trying to do. Anybody who's, like, starting to doze off, they're like, no, pay attention to this movie.
It's just unpleasant. Like, there are specific specs on, like, how fast can a light flash before it's considered unsafe and stuff? But even if it was within the means, within the safe like range, it just fucking sucks to look at. I get it, like a muted version, I could understand, like, oh, it's like a CRT display. There's going to be a light glow, a little bit of flicker maybe. But it was just like, why is the whole screen flashing in some shots? Fucking stop that. You know?
Yeah. I didn't notice that. It didn't bother
you
me.
You didn't know? What, did you watch this on a 4-inch phone?
I don't know. I was watching on my laptop screen.
Maybe it's, we have a big ass TV
it
downstairs.
It bothered me a lot. Let's see.
Oh, well, okay. The one thing, did we skip over Sengoku going on his little dive expedition?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe.
Him and Ben 10 were trying to break into the army base.
But I like that before they do that, when Sengoku's getting ready to dive versus... the robot is with him because he takes him everywhere. He's his little sidekick. And he's huge, which is funny because that's like a very
really big
80s impression of the future, is like things are humongous. Like in today's, it would just be an app on your phone.
Well, I don't know. He carries his gun and stuff.
That's
he carries
true.
Other things.
But he is huge. You'd think he'd hover or something. Anyway, he says two metaphors to him that he interprets directly, which again feels that is what a fucking AI voice thing would do. One of the things he says is, the first thing he says, I don't remember, but then he says, oh no, he says, give it a rest. And the robot is like, I do not need to rest. I am online 24/7, blah, blah, blah. And then he says, get lost. And Versus says, I have a GPS system. I would never get lost. I am able. And like, he keeps talking while Sengoku dives.
Yeah.
Like, and I think this, again, the scene fades out.
It's so funny.
it's very good. And again, it feels real, where like 1950s or 60s pictured technology, like creating a utopia, a Shangri-La, if you will. But we all know that technology is like, this fucking thing sucks and it's annoying, even though it's like amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah, then Sengoku meets up with Benten. Benten has now, unlike episode one, Benten has succeeded first at infiltrating this like military base or whatever.
But then they get stuck because like there are these giant tide gates at this like underwater base, and they don't open until it becomes high tide again. So Sengoku's just like, I'm taking a nap. And then Benten does something, which we find out later is like set a bunch of bombs up.
Well, he sets up bombs and he gives one of the bombs to Sengoku, who then throws it in the water and goes, you do it. I'm going to take a nap.
Mm-hmm. Not helpful.
I don't know what Benten probably eventually sleeps too. I don't know. And then it comes online and they're able to go into the facility.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember why, like what they accomplished in there.
I think they discovered...
Oh, different parts for this android that they end up fighting.
And some limbless bodies in tanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That I'm guessing they weren't getting body parts for. Maybe that like Chinese Chinatown operation was about like getting rid of their limbs, their flesh limbs that they don't need.
Mm.
Which again, this whole episode feels very RoboCop-y. Although instead of like, what if...
Oh, yeah, they find out that they have data on goggles and something.
And I think they find out about Molkos, the project that is the psychic.
Which I keep like thinking Molkos. You know that? How did you know?
I knew when it brought it up, I thought of Molkos, which is Spanish.
For boogers.
Aww. Yeah.
Molkos. It's like mucus. But
so if you take the L out, yeah. It's Molkos.
Molkos.
And it's an acronym, right?
Oh, yeah, I should look that
up.
But
I did not recognize the last word, which was swath.
Swath.
It's probably supposed to be SWAT, is my guess.
Okay.
Let's see here. Maintenance of law. No, it's maybe on screen it was, but what I'm reading here is maintenance of law cybernetic organism suit.
Oh, it was S-U-A-T-H.
Yeah, I'm guessing that. That like on screen is wrong, but maybe when they say it later, like the translators cleaned it up for them.
Okay.
Similar to Euripidide, Mongolide, etc. Mm. Sounds like different chemicals.
Molkos.
Yeah.
I liked the design of Molkos. It was like predatory.
Yeah, because the tubes in the back kind of look like dreads or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I kept being like, someone cut the... I'm always like, when there's like a free cord somewhere, I'm like, someone's got to cut it. That's the weak spot. Get back there and kill those blood tubes.
Yeah.
Because they would like jiggle when he was getting ready to do a big psychic attack.
Nobody killed the blood tubes, though.
Yeah. Put me in that thing's way. I'm trying to get behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Going for the tubes.
And you would have done it.
You think so?
Yeah, you would. Yeah, I think you would have done it.
I'm pretty sure I'd be squished. Not even a criminal. Anyway, so yeah, the base opens and they're basically doing the exposition at the same time that we cut back to see Goggles on his adventure with Sarah, who doesn't have a cool nickname. And the military guys.
Every episode there has to be one person with like a normal name. Like there was Dave last episode, mm-hmm. and now the new character is Sarah.
In Japan, it's like, wow, so exotic. Sarah, Dave. Yeah. The military at some point turned around and either they realized what was up or it's all part of the setup. Oh, did we also talk about when the military calls their boss?
Yes. Oh, no, we didn't talk about it.
I wrote down, guy calls and says something about Goggles and that he wants to handle it without the police.
Yeah.
That's what I wrote. And oh yeah, and his boss gives Goggles a heads up.
And they have like sort of a threat off where they're like, we're going to chase down your hounds. And the boss goes like, well, those hounds have sharp teeth. And the military goes like, well, Malkos is immunized against rabies. And I wanted them to keep going.
It was, yeah, it was a little stupid. It was funny, but...
this is super rabies.
Yeah. No, because I would block that and I would sweep your leg and then I would deliver the death blow. Just theory fighting.
No, you can't do... I already used my death laser on you.
I said
you
no backsies. You can't flip the death beam. Basically, the military calls to be like, hey, one of your guys is like doing something bad. I don't know if they said like he's with our wanted fugitive or he did technically steal military data, but that's because Sarah had it. Sarah had top secret documents that he like glanced at or something. And so they're like, we're going to have to put him down. And basically, instead of just like giving him that warning, they're also like, hey, you're going to want to look for a new job because I think the city's going to trust us now and not you and your criminals on leashes, which does feel... this is like part of what makes me think of RoboCop, because part of like a plot in RoboCop is that it's two different propositions for police of the future, and one kind of fights it in a dirty way. One has like a human element that's like nice, and one is just like a cold robot, and in this... the human robot hybrid, the cyborg, is the evil.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what. Yeah, I guess the human element here is to use prisoners.
Yes, threatened to blow them up.
I guess I would prefer that than something that's programmed and psychic. Anyway.
Bastards, though.
Yeah.
Even if you're forced to be a cop, you're a bastard.
That's right.
It depends on your crime, in my book.
Depends on your crime.
If you're a real bad criminal, then you're a
bastard.
Now
your crime is being a cop bastard.
Oh, okay. Anyway. So yeah, the military is chasing Sarah and Goggles, and they're getting ready to like open fire, and Sarah sticks herself out of the car. And I think Goggles said something like, this feels like old times. And she's out the car and she's like, this does feel good. Like old times. And I'm like, get back in the car. Get back in the fucking car. Half of your body is exposed. And we all know you're not wearing body armor. And then as the helicopter fires, she's able to squeeze off a few shots and they go down. But they don't explode, I don't... or do they? Because they scrape along the road for a while.
Mm-hmm.
In hindsight, I'm wondering if this is all part of a setup. But yeah, they get chased. Goggles does something cool where he goes off one overpass onto another. And then a bunch of the dumbass military cops just try to follow him and they fall off and die probably. And that's funny. And they get to the end of the road. Then they get out.
They go through all that and then she pulls her gun out and is like, I lied to you. And she like double crosses him.
Yeah, that she was getting busted for something.
Yeah, she got caught. Yeah, she got busted by special forces and they made her turn on him. Basically, they were like, well, it's kind of like how he got a deal it's like if you double cross him, we'll let you go. So she's like, I got to do it. But then she's kind of like, I'm not going to do it, though. She kind of changes her mind.
But their whole aim is just so that Goggles has to fight this robot so they can test the robot.
Yeah, but I think the whole idea is that they want to get it sanctioned. So by having her slip him top secret docs,
I see.
Then they can say that he had those and that's why we had to use our new psychic robot warrior on him.
Mm-hmm.
And they give Hasegawa a heads up for no reason. I don't know why you would do that when you're trying to set someone up. But yeah, and at some point Hasegawa calls the other ones and they're like, he has to go fight. He has to do the fight and he has to win, which I think is him just looking out for his own ass and his own division. Yeah, she like can't do it. She can't bring herself to do something. She doesn't really have to do anything. And then she feels bad and the cops are coming for them.
And so she gets in a big truck and starts to attack.
Yeah, she tries to drive at the Molkos.
Yeah.
And I was like, she's fucked. She's fucked. The whole time I'm like, you're dead.
She looks very badass, but then the thing just jumps out of the way and the truck that she's driving just sinks into the water. Oops.
Well, at first it crushes like the chassis a little bit, but it doesn't get to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you can still swerve. You can still get out. You don't have to. I was just waiting for her to get squished.
Mm.
But yeah, it does move. She goes down into the water, and then Goggles manages to chase her into the water and is trying to free her.
And he just watches her die.
And it seems like she gives up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like a bunch of bubbles come out in a way that looked like she kind of wanted to. So I think her character's written stupid.
Yeah, it is stupid.
Because it seemed like she was just so embarrassed and ashamed that she was like, I'll just fucking kill myself.
She's like, I'm going to double cross you. JK, I'm not going to double cross you. I'm going to help you. Oh, but I didn't really help because I just fucking drove a car into the fucking river and killed myself.
Have you ever been this embarrassed that you're like, I'll just fucking drive into the water. Fuck it.
I've definitely thought about it, but I've never done it.
Yeah.
I've been so embarrassed that like I wished I could just like start coughing up blood and being like, oh my god, just to leave a situation. And people would be like, that's why he was acting off. It wasn't like a poor personality trait, a bad decision.
Oh man,
he's been sick.
That brings bad memories up.
Okay, never mind. Well, I'm glad you didn't drive
like
into the water.
I've definitely just been like, oh, if I get hurt, I don't have to work anymore. Like if I'm yes. hospitalized, I don't have to work. So, but that I don't actually like break my arm or anything.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I wish I could. What'd you say?
Or drive into the river.
Yeah.
But I wish I could just consequence free cough up blood. I guess I could fake it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to do it at will.
That's like a sitcom thing that like always backfires, you know?
I don't think they'd put that on Seinfeld.
Yeah, because someone would be like, hey, wait a minute. That's not real blood.
I'm Can a you doctor. Imagine?
They'd ask for like the hospital record later and be like, I decided not to go. I went home. I had salt water.
Yeah.
It's everything's fine.
You know, it's really weird. This but your blood tastes like chocolate. You should get that checked
and it's
out.
Very brown. Sorry about licking that blood. Yeah. And she's also like, she's like, I shouldn't have turned on you and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, lady, you don't have an explosive fucking collar on. Like, look who you're complaining in front of. Mm-hmm. This guy has to just, like, turn on all these criminals. To the point where I was like, they shouldn't even be hanging out. Because what if his boss is like, hey, she's a wanted criminal. You should arrest her. Yeah, or blows him up.
Mm-hmm.
So she kind of goes out in a stupid way.
And at some point, his boss says, you have 8 hours to kill this robot.
Yeah, which I don't think you should even set a time frame.
He did. And he barely makes it.
He barely makes it. It's a very insane fight. But yeah, he tries shooting it. That doesn't work. He runs away a bit. And even that's tough because I don't know. Are they at Tokyo Tower? It looked just
that's
like Tokyo
like,
Tower
yeah.
to me.
But is this Tokyo?
I think it's Oedo. So maybe it's Oedo.
Because okay, it's Cyber City Oedo, yeah.
But I guess Oedo Tower would have been that big space scraper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what this is, but it looks like Tokyo Tower. He tries to run away from it for a bit, but it uses its psychic crush to like destroy the stairs that he's on. So he's falling
and
stuff.
He's getting his ass kicked.
And then it turns out this thing can go-go gadget stretch itself mm-hmm. to like go up close to him. And its hands and feet are both very knifey. And he gets stabbed in his little ab window because for some reason he doesn't have his little tummy covered.
He's got an ab window, yeah. So you can see his abs. He works hard on his body and he wants to show it off. I get it.
Yeah, well, he gets stabbed there and I was like, oh, he's done. I was like, he's fucked. It's draw blood. Bring in the other guys. Because the other guys are just like around. I think at some point he gets like blown out. Like it uses the psychic as like a push and it pushes him off the tower. But Sengoku and Ben 10 catch him in their little chopper. And they don't even patch him up. But no. I think this is when their boss is like, he's got to fight and he's got to win. And then Goggles is like, I got to go fucking do it. And he just like goes back and they're like, wait, don't. But again, no one gives him gauze or anything.
No.
He's
not even
bleeding.
Like a pat on the back, a massage.
Yeah. Give him a neck massage. So he goes out there. He fights some more. At one point, it like jams his head in the wall and his vision gets all fucky.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's like pretty blind for like half of this fight. And I think I feel like he isn't really to make any leeway until he figures out somehow that it hates loud noises.
Well, he takes a steel beam and goes to bash it, and instead, because he's blind, bangs it against one of the beams of the Tokyo Tower.
And oh, I didn't put that together that that was an accident. I thought he just knew.
Yeah, and I think it, like... So then it hears this noise, and it grabs his head, and it's like, oh, I don't like it. And he gets Varses to record the noise and amplify it through
his bomb collar.
His bomb collar. Because
the bomb collar is also a phone.
Yes. Yes. Why don't we all have collar phones?
I think we should have these collars and we should call them torques because, as we know, metal neck rings can be called torque. From last episode.
Of this show. Of this podcast.
Of this podcast show.
Got it.
Yeah, this is a trope, right? Big noise makes monster feel bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, I only know it from like Spider-Man versus Venom.
Yeah. Like the animated thing or the Spider-Man 3 movie?
From like the comic.
Oh,
no,
really?
No, from the animated series from when we were kids.
Okay.
He hears the loud church bells and it makes Venom all fucky.
The other trope that popped in, I was trying to think
Mars
of where
attacks.
Else. I've seen his Mars attacks. What is that? It's like country yodeling that makes their heads explode.
Yeah.
It's such a funny fucking thing. As a kid, I had no idea.
Is Mars attacks, does that have Tim Allen or am I thinking of something else?
I don't think it has Tim Allen. It has a lot of people though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's like a weird Tim Burton thing and it's just like an ensemble of actors. It's got Jack Nicholson, Sarah Jessica Parker, Michael J. Fox. Yeah. And it's like, it's a dumb movie, but it's kind of fun.
Yeah. I feel like it's a classic.
I'm looking this up to see if TV Tropes has it. No, they have defeat equals explosion trope. Mighty roar. Nah. Yeah. So he's able to like get it to kind of like wince. And he still takes some more damage, including he gets stabbed in the stomach again. And, but he's able to just like punch it. He punches it in the metal a few times, which I thought was cool. And it makes a very deep, satisfying sound. But I'm like, is he all the way human? Because how is this doing any fucking damage to it?
He's strong, man. He lifts. Look at him.
He is pretty jacked. And then the like Nazi looking guy with the big widow's peak, who I guess is like
incredible widow's peak.
Yeah.
It's so sharp. You could, I don't know.
You pop a balloon with it.
That's right.
Yeah, he's got like the Jerry Only hair going on, you know, the Misfits guitarist. It's not entirely unlike what our infant daughter has going on, you know, just kind of a big spear mostly going. Mm-hmm. He like shows up on the tower and is trying to convince Molkos to keep fighting. And Molkos is all fucked up. We see its human face now and it's like writhing in pain. Newer streams of blood keep coming out from its forehead and it's just like, I'm fucking dead. And this like evil scientist guy's like, come on, Molkos, you're impervious, blah, blah, blah. And then Goggles takes, I think like Molkos's hand or foot that's like very sharp and he just jams it into the officer's face, I think, or neck.
Kills the hell out of him.
He just fucking kills him and it's very satisfying because you know it's like this show had some political elements here and you're like who can really arrest who blah 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 but he just shoves this shit in this guy's fucking head. It's great. And I'm assuming he's not dead. I'm assuming Goggles does not die here because he already seems very sturdy.
Oh, I think he lives. Yeah, he lives
and he survived what appears to be very deep scarring on his face. That's why he's blind, I think.
Yeah, he's good.
It was apparently this was released on VHS. Oh. In the UK, it was marketed to the, quote, beer and curry crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Who wanted something lurid, noisy, and violent to watch with their mates. It's also from Dr. Kev.
Classic combo.
Yeah, we should get some beer and curry and then just fart all fucking night watching this shit. I liked it. It's fun.
Okay.
And it's very pretty.
I liked it too.
Looks good. I think they should have less flashing.
Yeah, the flashing could strobing, be toned down.
Strobing. I like the red and blue. Lots of things turn red and blue. That was cool. I like the characters. like the design and stuff. I think they could have done more with Sarah.
Sarah was not totally written as a realistic human being with thoughts and logic.
Like, what was even the point? I mean, I don't know.
Pretty undercooked.
Yeah. But, you know, I give it a 800 out of 808.
That's pretty good.
Wow. Really high.
Yeah, I think I give it about the same.
Okay. I guess me too. I don't know. It's a big scale. It's hard to get my arms around.
It's tough. To give you a sense of scale, 808 out of 808 would be like 100.
I do want to watch the last one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do it.
I was thinking, I was like, could we pair that with something else short?
No.
But, we can't.
I was actually thinking as we were doing this, I was like, we probably should have just done each one as its own episode. Like, I think we should have just covered the first one in one episode and the second, because I feel like the second one, there was a lot to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's true. But we have a whole third one.
No, but now the third one gets the special entire episode treatment. Maybe there's like an animated short or something. Like, there's like a, not a short, I don't know. There's like a little short little 30 minute thing.
Yeah, I looked up how long Angel's Egg is, and that's a little over an hour.
I don't watch anything longer than 30 minutes.
Ever?
Ever.
I just don't want to do episodes for a week that is longer than like a 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Total.
It gets to be really long. Remember some of those Stardust Crusaders episodes? We did like four anime eps in one.
That was too many.
That was a lot. Oh, okay. Hey, on TV Tropes, there's a page for this. I really wish I read this before we recorded, but what you saw on screen, Miles, was the impressively incoherent. They file this under, quote, blind idiot translation. Maintain of law, civonetic organism swath. And they also managed to spell it Plogict Molkos. That's Plojct. Mm-hmm. And some of the letters are capitalized and some are not. Not the way you think. Yeah. There's some good ones in here. And if you want a good laugh, just look it up on YouTube and watch some of the dub. But I think that the subtitles did imply that the characters sometimes think and have dimension. And I like that, because I thought all of them were a little too nice to have been like life-imprisoned criminals.
Yeah,
I don't know. None of them were really that edgy.
Benton? I'd have a beer with that guy. No, I wouldn't.
Even if he told you that you wouldn't know a vampire if it bit you on your dick, you'd be like, that's funny.
He's kind of right.
Well, I don't know if... I think by that point, I'd be like, oh, that's a fucking vampire. I got a good look at that one. All right. That's it for Cyber City 808. We'll watch the third one next week, I guess.
Yeah.
Right? Why not? Again, you can watch it. It's on YouTube and stuff, but it's also on Crunchyroll in pretty nice quality with subtitles. If you have thoughts on this, you can join our Discord. The way to do that is by looking at the description of this podcast episode in your podcast listening app and then clicking on wherever it says to do that. You can also tweet to us. We are at JJBpod. If you have thoughts you want to tweet our way, you can email us jojosbizarrepod@gmail.com. And if you are feeling generous, patreon.com/JJBpod. We have to go. We gotta go. Good night.
Goodbye. Bye.